Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CreditAccess Grameen Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Sejal. Welcome everyone to the CreditAccess Grameen Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. We have with us today from senior management, Mr. Udaya Kumar Hebbar, Managing Director, Mr. Ganesh Narayanan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Balakrishna Kamath, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Nilesh Dalvi, SVP and Head Investor Relations. With this brief introduction, let me hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, post which we will open up the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening to all, and a warm welcome for joining the conference call to discuss our first quarter FY25 business performance. Before we begin, I would encourage everyone to read our FY24 integrated annual report themed "Being Sustainable and Responsible," which is available on our website. This report highlights our initiatives aimed at sustaining robust cross-cycle business performance, promoting strong governance and best practices, conscious efforts to reduce our environmental footprint, and safeguarding the stakeholders' interests. As we reflect on the last quarter, it is evident that we navigated well, though a seasonally moderate period for microfinance, coupled with the general election process during a large part of the quarter. Despite facing challenges such as extreme heat waves across regions and operational limitations during general elections, we maintained consistent performance in our net interest margins, operating efficiency, and return ratios. Our overall AUM grew by 20.6% YOY to INR 26,304 crores. The GL book grew by 18.2% to INR 25,542 crores, as against our annual guidance of 20%. While the RF book delivered a healthy growth to rupees 762 crores, the overall portfolio declined on a sequential basis, in line with our internal estimates, given the seasonally weaker business momentum in the first quarter, coupled with the general elections. We had factored this in our annual guidance of 23%-24% portfolio growth in FY25, estimating a lower growth of 20% in group loan business, as against 24.7% growth in FY24. Therefore, we reiterate our annual growth guidance for FY25, and we do not see any downside risk to our growth guidance. The disbursements stood modest at rupees 4,476 crores. We added 1.9 lakh new customers in Q1, leading to 12.7% YOY and 1.3% QOQ growth in the customer base to 49.84 lakhs. Our branch infrastructure stood at 1,976 spread across 388 districts at the end of June 2024, as we added nine new branches during the quarter. The net interest income grew by 24.8% YOY to rupees 953 crore, in line with the loan portfolio growth. Our portfolio yield at 21% continued to remain the lowest in the microfinance industry, resonating with our belief in serving customers with responsible pricing. On the other hand, the cost of borrowing was also stable at 9.8%, despite the tightening liquidity scenario in the banking system. We expect our cost of borrowing will be within the range of 9.8%-9.9% for FY25, guided by a healthy mix of domestic and foreign borrowings, along with maintaining a robust ALM position. While we operate with an interest spread of 11.2%, our NIM for the quarter stood at 13%, benefiting from our strong capital position and our balance sheet. The positive operating leverage generated due to the scale of our business, coupled with improved income profile, controlled costs, resulted in a cost-income ratio of 29.2%. PPOP grew by 30.4% YOY to INR 709 crores. Coming to the asset quality, we saw a transitory increase in delinquency trend during the first quarter due to, one, low base impact on account of 1.5% QOQ reduction in our loan portfolio, two, extended impact of low rainfall during last year followed by a severe heat wave across several regions throughout the quarter, coupled with operational limitation during general elections, which impacted regular collections and follow-ups in the delinquent buckets, considering the election sensitivity of the borrower's profile. We have been anticipating a gradual increase in business as usual delinquencies over the past three quarters due to on-ground issues like temporary customer migration, rising customer leverage trends, third-party loan utilization issues, and higher steady-state delinquencies outside Karnataka. And accordingly, we had budgeted higher credit cost for FY25 compared to the previous year. We, however, expect the delinquency trend to stabilize in the coming quarters and credit cost within the guided range of 2.2 to 2.4% for the year. As you can see on slide 6, we continue to witness sustained partial repayments in the PAR 60 bucket with an improving repayment trend as you move forward. Additionally, we have taken adequate measures like tightening credit filters while onboarding new customers, while extending new loan to existing customers, limiting overall leverage while dispersing, etc., and deploying senior and experienced field staff and business support teams to control the PAR trend in some pockets. Despite the increase in delinquency during the quarter, our asset quality continued to remain strong with the collection efficiency excluding arrears of 97.8% for Q1 FY25, PAR 90 plus at 1.13%, GNPA of 1.46 measured at 60 plus DPD, and net NPA of 0.45%. The credit cost of rupees 175 crore during the first quarter compared to rupees 153 crore during Q4 FY24 reflects our early risk recognition and conservative provisioning policy. Our initial provisioning stood at 2.29%, which is 116 bps higher than our PAR 90 plus and 130 bps higher compared to IRAC provisioning norms. We have strengthened our initial provisioning policy further by aligning the provisioning rates based on district-specific risk compared to state-specific risk earlier, along with customer vintage. Our conservative approach of granular risk recognition and higher provisioning has historically positioned us to quickly navigate any potential asset quality cycles and capitalize on growth opportunities. We plan to implement district-based loan pricing in Q2 FY25, leveraging the business rule engine that would help align the loan provisioning rates on a granular basis. Thus, by tailoring loan pricing strategies based on district-specific factors, we not only aim to mitigate the potential risk, but also optimize revenue generation, safeguarding our overall returns. Our gross credit cost stood at 2.7% for Q1 FY25, while net credit cost stood at 2.6%, which is slightly higher due to transitory nature and base effect of Q1 as explained earlier. Coming to the return profile, Q1 FY25 PAT stood at Rs. 398 crore, resulting in ROA of 5.4% and ROE of 23.5% in line with our annual guidance. This is the sixth consecutive quarter where we have delivered ROA over 5% and ROE over 20%, resulting in sustainable profitability mirroring our strong cross-cycle performance. Looking ahead, we would like to reiterate our confidence in achieving our annual growth and profitability targets. Our strategic initiatives coupled with the resilient business model and dedicated team position us well to mitigate the known risk effectively. Lastly, before opening the forum for question and answer session, I would like to highlight the guardrails implemented by the industry body, MFIN, earlier this month imposing a cap on microfinance debtor debt to rupees 2 lakh, number of lenders to 4. The industry collectively has come forward to move towards a sustainable growth path given large untapped credit advancing opportunities available through microfinance channel. We look forward to your insights and questions as we delve deep into our Q1 FY 2025 result and strategic outlook. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from YES Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Sir, first question is, as we are defining this increase in delinquencies as temporary, have you already seen improvement in fresh PAR accretion in June and July? Or conversely, if you can share whether there has been improvement in the collection efficiency of June and July so far?
June and July is still remaining stable at the little higher frequency only, but we believe that the overall by Q2, this should improve. So what I'm trying to explain you is the 60 days, what the general election time you had difficulty in managing the collections, particularly going to field, going to do a follow-up of delinquent customers. That bucket would have moved further, whereas new PAR, we are able to collect back or collect partially or moving backward. So therefore, overall, your delinquent trend may remain same, but the new PAR actually ability to collect is much higher than the first 60 days.
Okay. Okay. And sir, you have mentioned about strengthening of the ECL provisioning policy in first quarter, and you have aligned your provisioning rates on districts versus states earlier, and also along with the customer vintage. But when I look at the ECL coverage on standard loans, which is stage one loans, it remains the same. So incrementally, as the growth picks up in the remaining quarters, would this ECL coverage percentage increase, right? Because more and more growth will come from the newer geographies.
Correct. It's right. When we realigned in all three buckets, you could see variation. For example, you have seen the standard asset, it has come down by 2 basis points, whereas stage two, it's gone up by 2%, and stage three, it come by 1%. Correct? It is more of when we moved from a state level to district level, we moved it to granularity. So some of the state, the actual numbers would have changed, but the coverage. For example, take an example of Maharashtra. We decided as high-risk state earlier. So now we moved to district-wise. Some district moved to medium districts, some district moved to low districts. The customers also moved the same coverage buckets. So therefore, there is a one-time aberration or a change based on moving from a state level to granular level. And going forward, this would actually remain the same or follow the past 36 months trend, actually. We get reevaluated every quarter. So it's a one-time change because of a move from state to district and move to granular level.
And just lastly, you don't see any structural issues in any of the large markets like Bihar, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, and Maharashtra, in terms of, you know, rejection rates increasing, or in terms of unique borrower acquisition challenges in these metrics? Are we seeing any issues at all? Because your guidance seems to suggest that things will come back, normally in the coming quarters.
So there could be some stabilization because of the new guardrails which implemented. So because the overall, if the total borrowing of unsecured is more than 2 lakh, you may not be able to acquire the customer as per new guardrails, which is going to be common for the whole industry, not just for CAGL. But our view is that this should not impact too much because we always have this policy with us. Therefore, we don't see any challenge because of this. But yes, there is little increase in the rejection rates, but I think it will help us to acquire new customer to compensate that kind of rejections.
Got it, sir. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renish from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hi, sir.
Sir, just two questions from my side. So one, on the PAR zero trend, right? I mean, if we exclude the Karnataka and Maharashtra, you know, which has been the best performing state for us, as well as, I'm assuming, for the industry, wherein we have 50% of our book. Now, if I exclude these two states, then, you know, the rest of the states, PAR zero is actually, say, touching 4%. So it clearly suggests that, you know, there is some challenges across these states. Now, of course, this could be because of transitory in nature, because of election, EPO, etc. But how one should sort of read this data? I mean, is this due to the over-leveraging, given the industry has been growing at an accelerated pace post-COVID? Or is there any structural change in the customer behavior? Because we have been hearing a lot, you know, from the industry player that the center attendance is not sort of back to the pre-COVID level, and you know, which of course tells us that the customer behavior has changed structurally. So, sir, where do you see PAR zero settling down, you know, in near term for us as well as the for the industry?
So PAR zero, other than the core markets, it was little higher earlier also. That is why in our earlier call also we said that we have to increase our credit card guidance because we continue to grow outside Karnataka. So therefore, it actually moved up by about 60 to 70 bps compared to earlier at the first quarter. We have to see the next, actually maybe Q2, we feel it should stabilize from here. But on a continuous sequential basis, last 3 to 4 quarter, we have seen increase in the credit cost in the non-core markets. So therefore, we anticipated an increase of credit cost guidance last year itself, for the year itself. So currently, we are seeing little higher than what we anticipated in these cases. But we believe it is a transitory nature in the first quarter, and it should come down to a normal stable cost, what we anticipate about 3.5% outside these core markets.
So let me put it this way, sir. So do you think this 3.5% in other markets is a steady state, PAR zero one should think of going ahead?
Even then, your PAR 90 will be, PAR 90 may be much lower. 4.1 is a higher considering the aberration, the different Q1, right? So it should be down. Maybe PAR 90 you should look at, maybe 1 to 1.24%, maybe a stable PAR 90 for a non-core market. That is what reflects in our credit cost, what we built up for the FY24-25.
Got it. So in nutshell, I mean, is it fair to conclude that, you know, whatever we have been hearing in the newspaper or media articles about, you know, building up stress in the sector, on ground, maybe as per your assessment, things will come back in Q2.
Should be stable in Q2, and you still have to complete the journey what you had in Q1, right? So actually, the fresh accrual should come down, and then top of the what you had already in the Q1.
So does June and July doesn't indicate those improvements?
It's actually June and July still stable. Where ability of to collect back is better actually. So delinquent trend is remaining stable, but ability to collect is better. Whereas April and May, delinquent was there, but your ability to recover was bad. The difference is that.
So basically, net flow forwards in June and July should be lower than April and May?
No, absolutely.
Okay, fair enough, sir. And just last question from my side.
So look at our page 6 where we said that the 0 to 60, your collection partially is much higher, almost close to 40-45%. Whereas 60 above is actually car collection much lower because it was part of the April May.
Correct. Okay, got it. And so just last thing on the retail loan side, you know, of course, now that book is at around 750 odd crore. So which product is driving this growth? is this the individual loans which are driving this growth or?
Yeah, individual is a larger portion because we started that as a first product. Already, it's a vintage product more than 2 years now. The other product we started recently. So currently, 70-75% is more of individual business loan.
And let's say the PAR trend or asset quality is similar to that of JLG, or it is slightly worse than that?
It is much better than the JLG at this point of time, because these are all cherry-picked, seasoned vintage customers.
It's quite low at the moment across all RF products. Nothing significant to mention about.
And sir, do we have any internal, let's say, cap in terms of to what percentage we will scale up this book?
So we already said earlier, by 2028, we said that we'll reach up to 15% of our book.
The individual loan, I think that was for the total retail asset.
Total RF, correct. See that it will all go by a different product starting from different point of time. For example, individual loan started 2 years back. Then we started the LAP product and two-wheeler product. Then we went to our housing loan. Eventually, by 5 years' time, we are looking at about 40-45% is secured book in terms of LAP and HL and two-wheeler. LAP and HL is a long-term product, whereas individual is always 3 years product, less than that. It will churn out. So when you have a season of the seasoning of retail, you will see 45-55 kind of asset, I mean, secured and unsecured book.
Got it. So maybe if I were to just split it, 7.5% will be secured and 7.5% will be individual loans.
Yeah. It will be 7-8 kind of thing. Correct. You're right. Because, the LAP book will not run down, right? It'll only keep accruing, whereas other book will actually start running down over a period of time.
Got it. This is very well said, sir. Thank you very much and best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citibank. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So firstly, in terms of the incremental delta of 70-odd basis points, which state? So maybe earlier you said like there is an increase, but any specific state which is leading to a higher delta, ex of Karnataka and Maharashtra? Yeah, so any particular state wherein that increase of 1.7 to 2.5, is it like spread across all of them, or maybe we are seeing one or two states having relatively higher?
So we saw largely, other than Karnataka, we saw largely everywhere. But Karnataka, Maharashtra is actually standing out, even Madhya Pradesh is standing out with less than 2.2%, whereas others have little higher, which actually forms only 15% of our business. Particularly what we saw little higher is Rajasthan, Kerala, between Jharkhand and some pockets of Tamil Nadu.
Okay. Rajasthan, Kerala, Jharkhand, and some pockets of TN.
Correct.
Okay. And secondly, with respect to disbursement, so if you can just suggest in terms of the monthly run rate, okay, because maybe it's like less than 1,500 crores a month. So how would that have been maybe like April and May was slower, and getting into June, July, we are seeing the traction better because on year-on-year basis also there is a decline. So just want to look at it, how it should actually pan out, say, in the coming quarters.
Year-on-year decline is basically first 2 months is an election process. Normally, you have a lot of restriction on due to code of conduct, cash handling, and number of customers joining together. All this affects issue about the administration. So therefore, we anticipated lower disbursement in any case during first quarter. But we would retain our annual guidance of growth, and we believe our disbursement will continue to become normal maybe after 1 or 2 months, because we still believe June, July, or July, August may be more of a calibrated growth, because we have to see how this whole industry across the player, how it's playing. So 1 or 2 months or 3 months, we will be calibrated. But Q3, Q4, we should be able to grow, because normally in microfinance, Q3 and Q4 is the higher business.
Yeah.
So therefore, we still believe there is no risk of what you call non-complying with the guidance.
Yeah. So maybe July, August also we could see 1500 crores a month kind of disbursement run rate, not much.
It may be between 1500 to 2000.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
It will be calibrated.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Kunal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So two questions. One, so while we have maintained portfolio yields over the past 3 to 4 quarters, now given the fact that we are going to implement district-based loan pricing in Q2, so do we see any changes out there in the trends going forward on the yield front?
Should not be. Even if it is there, it will be very small, because when you move to granular, there will be small variation, like ECL, what I explained earlier, there is small variation. So this may have a small variation, but we are not anticipating any significant variation here.
Noted, sir. So second, on the borrower addition front, so obviously seasonally Q1 tends to be a weaker quarter. Also, there have been transitory challenges, as you explained. But this consistent decline in borrower addition since past 3 to 4 quarters, so now that we are at a number of 1200 kind of a number, so how much of this would you attribute to these transitory challenges, and how much would be on the grounds of prudency wherein we are sort of trying to curb the challenges because of the industry headwinds?
I think there is a correction. Our customer appeal not reduced except last quarter. We have borrower gone up by almost close to 13%. So it's a quite healthy customer addition. It's only Q1 we had a transition challenge. Now we already back to normalcy, about 100,000 per customers per month we should start going back. If you go back last 2 months, other than the first quarter, we would have added almost 100,000 new customers every month. So there is no reduction in earlier quarters. But it's already come back to normalcy in terms of acquisition. We would be able to acquire almost 100,000 clients from this month onwards.
Noted, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek M. from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening.
Hi, Abhishek, good evening.
Hi sir. Yeah, so my first question is just on this, rains which have been fairly disruptive. There have been flood conditions in several parts. Any kind of impact due to that in this quarter, in the second quarter so far?
We don't see. Normally, Abhishek, when the rain impact is a very short term, nothing should happen actually. When rain impact on the ground is more than 1 week, 2 week, then there is a difficulty in the earning capacity of the customer or a displacement, then it will impact. But we are not anticipating that so far. So far, that situation not happened. So we don't see any impact because of it. There will be short impact, but very, very few. But we don't see any significant impact because of that. So likes of, let's say, 2019, there were 15 days, there was a rain across, the flooding, people have to displace, then there's an impact, temporary impact. But this we are not anticipating it.
So far, you've not seen that in any major...
No.
And so the other thing is your credit cost guidance. So if you're at 2.4 also for the full year, the implied credit cost for the rest of the year is hardly 2.1-2.2%. So do you think there's upside risk to that?
Should not be. Actually, now as you said, it's a kind of stabilizing now. And we will review by Q2, but the strong sense that it should be normal. We anticipated, and which is in line, it's only Q1 little higher actually. But we still believe that our overall credit cost should be within for the year.
Right.
So it was low base effect, you know. First quarter low base effect as well as the low growth effect. So there's a different effect. So overall it should not change.
Got it. Okay, sir. Thank you. Those were my questions. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashlesh Sonje from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi team. Good afternoon. Good evening, sorry. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, on the MFIN rules, would you have a sense of what is the proportion of your borrowers who would either be in breach of either of those two rules? Either they have more than four lenders or the exposure is more than 200K.
Okay. So our current analysis says there could be an impact of roughly around 8% of our borrowers.
Yeah.
But I think with new customer acquisition, we should be able to manage that.
Okay. And what is the typical plan of action for these borrowers in your case?
See, these borrowers are normally, if they are high vintage, good business, there's always a position for them to move to retail also, some of them, because it's a right business, right culture and opportunity, we have already said products, they can always move to them. Others, we may have to decline. Okay. But yeah, we have to compensate through a higher customer acquisition in such case.
And to a certain extent, this two lakh limit was an internal guideline already.
Already we are following.
So we could have certain impact with four lenders, but I think that we should be able to compensate through a better run rate.
So see, Abhishek, at least 2 lakh rupees already our internal guidelines. Even otherwise, obviously, would not have liked.
Understood, sir. Sir, and you mentioned that you have tightened some credit filters. Can you please elaborate on what changes you have done exactly?
So one is whatever MFIN is asking, largely we are already doing it in our book. Top of that, we have certain geographical credit filters. Using rule engine. For example, if we feel a state is high risk, we would do not even four lenders. We may do a three lender or a two lender. So it depends on our loan size variation based on the geography and risk, pricing based on geography and risk. All these are filters which we are using to rule engine. So it depends on each risk basis. We can actually play with the rules. That is what we are using.
And these tighter credit filters would be largely temporary or these are more permanent in nature?
Depends on if the risk continues, we have to continue the filter, right? So if the filter, so we will keep evaluating every quarter or two quarters and see if there is a variation, whether we have to tighten or we are loose, we can do that. So good part is we have a right software, right engine to manage such things.
Perfect. Perfect, sir. Thank you, Vanisha.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sebastian from DWS Investment GmbH. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the time and the opportunity. I just have a general question about the regulatory environment. I mean, it's like basically no week where the RBI, the regulators, making any statements about for the banks, loan deposit, for the NBFCs. I mean, how do you expect the regulatory environment for the rest of the year to shape up? What kind of measures do you think the financial sector needs to put on itself in order to appease the regulator a bit more?
Right. I think there has not been any further regulatory actions or indications except for pricing that the regulator is closely monitoring. However, the self-regulation that the industry has put in through the SRO is also in the right direction, right? So you are reacting much proactively to the market conditions, and that I think will go in the right way towards the regulatory governance.
On loans to NBFCs, I think it's more to NBFCs, whereas they exempted such kind of risk weight for private sector lending. So by default, any lending by banks to NBFC MFIs, so the rules are exempted, Sebastian.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Shah from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. First one is on the borrower addition. Incrementally, what would be the proportion of NTC borrowers that we are onboarding? And on a stock basis, what would be the customers which would be unique to CredAct?
So if you observe for last four quarters, we saw about 30-32%, 35% sometime the new to credit we observed. And we feel that will remain at that same trend, about 30-35%. And unique customer is in a little declining period because as we keep acquiring customer with the from other MFIs, so unique will come down. Currently, we are at about 29% currently. So it's a small marginal change will happen as we add more and more customers with other customers belong to other MFIs or other lenders.
Understood. And sir, my second question is on the over-leveraging. Your slides also mentioned that you're seeing some kind of over-leveraging on ground. And also bureau data suggests that there is high level of retail loan exposure to the MFI borrowers, especially in the states of Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. So can you share some color on your portfolio, how much of your borrowers would have retail overlap in terms of number of customers as well as value, if you have that?
I think the percentage what mentioned, I think you are referring to CRIF-5 mark report.
Correct.
So largely it resonates in the whatever they talk to southern states, it resonates to us also. But it's a more of a secured kind of book what we saw, like gold loans or a two-wheeler or a housing loan kind of thing, home loan. So which are longer tenor or somebody in the home other than the customers would be paying or so. So we are not seeing any such impact because of that on our customers. Gold loan is one common thing across the country, across the southern part of the country, which is normally they would pay only interest and again keep renewing it. So therefore, it won't impact as a leverage for our customer. However, in the last three quarters, what we observed is the leverage of the customer has increased by about, how much, about 16% or something. Overall leverage we saw on a sample basis, not full customers, we saw that. Similarly, the FOIR or repayment load or something also increased by about 12%. So, which we saw in our sample basis. We keep watching this and taking actions, corrective action based on the pockets. As I said, we strengthen the management, strengthen the teams in the pockets where such things happen. We keep watching with the samples. We will not have full data, but we have to go by some samples.
And also our...
wait a minute. Finish your
sample. So also, roughly around, our retail finance strategy will also take care of this, right? So the whole logic of building a retail franchise in Credit Access Grameen is seeing the trend in which customers are availing retail finance loans, and the product that we've chosen also is in that nature. So as the customer's income profile improves, they have better credit history, they will have access to retail finance products from Credit Access itself. So we can move them up as we move forward.
Interestingly, the retail finance delinquencies are much higher than the microfinance delinquencies that we see in the industry. Any specific reason for that? How do you read that? So you mentioned that is more secure kind of a book, but for example, housing loans are showing 30 plus DPD of as high as 10% as of March 24. So how do you read that data?
See, the difference between industry and Grameen is that we are doing retail finance with carefully selected products who have vintage with us, so who've got a credit history and relationship with us. So hence, we will always be better than industry even in this side of the business.
Okay.
See, one of the data points probably, what Ganesh says is very important. So the unique to Grameen and vintage with Grameen, we have seen absolutely great pattern. So that is what we are actually capitalizing when we do this retail book.
Okay. Understood.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Kabdik.
The next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So just one question on the classification of states in terms of low risk, medium risk, and higher risk. So have we seen any deterioration in this in the last one quarter, given that, you know, the PAR number in states like, as you highlighted, Rajasthan, Kerala, Jharkhand has increased. And also, in the slide that we have given in presentation, it shows that even states like Bihar have elevated PAR zero number. So have you seen the risk classification changing for some of the key states for us?
So risks actually now we move to districts. So statewide risk where we stopped tracking now. But you can see when you do the statewise, our total 29% portfolio was falling under high risk, whereas when you move to district, 34% fall into high risk, correct? And then medium actually 40-30. 40 moved to 40 in medium, it actually reduced to 30. Whereas low risk, it used to be 31% of book actually moved up. And 35% book comes under low risk now because of this transition. Maybe that answers your question.
So okay, there has been some movement, is what you're trying to indicate.
Yes,
but
correct.
State more on district side. Okay.
Correct. More district side. Correct. Correct.
The second part, like with this new MFIN guidelines, do you expect that even in key states like Bihar and Andhra and, you know, the newer state that we were targeting for incremental growth, would see some moderation in our aspirations, given that these are already, like, especially Bihar, UP, these are decently penetrated states in terms of MFI presence. So overall, our loan growth would also see some moderation in terms of versus our guidance in the presentation.
I think you know, it's important to note that the industry body has come up with the separate regulatory assurance to all of us that we will actually rebuild, or we will actually make it more resilient business going forward. I think we should anticipate this better and improved lending process going forward, because it is accepted by the whole body. Everybody came together under the banner. So if this includes the MFIs, the SFCs, NBFCs, and the bank together. Today, all of us are part of one entity, MFIN, and then it's a responsibility accepted by all of us together. So we believe it should be better going forward.
If there is any moderation in growth.
So I agree that there could be some moderation in growth for a shorter period, not may not be a longer period. Short period, it could be some growth moderation for the whole industry. We too assumed a kind of little lesser growth. If you see, last year our microfinance growth was 24.7%. What we actually built for FY 2024-25 is only 20%. So though our total growth we anticipated is 23-24%, microfinance growth is only 20%. So it is already inbuilt in our budget. So when we started our annual exercise this year, the little higher credit cost, little low growth in microfinance was anticipated specifically for GAMI.
Well, last one question. It is on center meeting attendance. So what is the difference that we have when we talk about center meeting attendance in the state of Karnataka, which is probably the best performing state for us and for industry, versus probably the rest of the states? So for us, what would be the difference in terms of center meeting attendance?
So largely Karnataka, Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh, all are actually quite good in terms of attendance. Little deviation we could see in the other part of the country. So where we are a core market, we are top and first entry. So we have seen, we are able to maintain that culture to large extent. But overall still we have a good 50-60% attendance in most part of the country. Yeah, little higher in Karnataka, definitely.
So what would be in Karnataka, for example, like just to benchmark it?
Karnataka may be about 70-72%, and then overall market may be 52%. Approximately, I'm not able to give right now here, but overall, sense I am having.
Got it, got it. Okay, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions, and good luck for the next quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajit Kumar from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, the regulator has been instructing MFI lenders to lower growth in Bihar and UP as per various news articles. Is there any communication that is currently going on with the regulator on this? And also your portfolio in Bihar and UP has become like 3 times and 4 times respectively between FY22 to 24, much higher than the overall AUM growth. Are you going to intentionally tone down growth in these states? So that, you know, that would be my first question.
The first is, I think there is no communication from RBI to any MFIs. Okay, maybe we have seen only yes, news article. We also see a new article, nothing else. So we have not heard from anybody that RBI wrote to anybody to reduce or made any statement about it. In terms of growth, I think we continue to do the calibrated growth. We continue to watch the industry, watch the risk of each district, and accordingly we'll grow. So I think our growth, what we estimated is not very high. Therefore, we will still continue to grow with the calibrated manner in those states also. But Bihar, we are not planning any branch openings because we have sufficient branches there. It's only growing in the branch where we already have existing branches. Plus UP, probably we expect to add some more branches, but our major growth should come from, new branches should come from AP, Telangana or West Bengal.
Okay. Sure. And sir, in order to achieve this 23 to 24% AUM growth, you know, target in FY25, what is the disbursement growth target in FY25?
It's similar, about 23-24% disbursement growth.
Okay, for the full year, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. So, sir, in that context, you know, disbursement growth in remaining FY25 has to be around, roughly, you can say, you know, 28 to 30%. That is a steep task given soft disbursement even in July and August. And if we see in last year disbursement growth during 2Q24 to 4Q24 versus, let's say, 2Q23 to 4Q23 was only 12%. So this disbursement, you know, growth target seems, you know, little bit on a higher side.
No, annualized growth last year for Q1, Q2 together, it was about 14%. And the balance in the period, we have actually achieved the 23%. 49, less actually. It's 8% of growth come in the first two quarters and we reach 23%. So 27%. That means 19% growth we achieved between Q3 and Q4 last year.
Okay.
So we believe in microfinance normally 60 to 65% growth comes in second half.
So that is
able to
manage. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Raghav Gar from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. I just have one question.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. May I request you to please use your handset?
Sure. Just give me a minute. Audible?
Yes, sir.
Audible.
Okay. Yeah. Sir, just one question from my side. When you look at the food inflation data, that food inflation has been quite persistent, and it matters even more as food expenditure, you know, as part of the overall expenditure is pretty large for bottom of the pyramid customers given their income levels. And rural wage growth in real terms has been negative for last, you know, quite a few quarters. On the other hand, you have a typical MFI customer seeing about 10 to 11% increase in exposure levels on a YOY basis. So in light of this, how do you expect the payment capacity to evolve over the next 12 months for your customers, or if you can comment on the broader industry, that will be very helpful. Thanks.
See, I think we've seen in history in times of inflation, our customers who are largely into similar profiles earn a little more, and sometimes it also gives a negative correlation to collection. Having said that, whatever self-regulation that MFIN has imposed upon, I think this will limit any kind of over-leverage that could build up over the next few quarters. And it should improve from here. I don't see it deteriorate from where it is today over the next few quarters. It should improve from where we are.
Understood. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Sarvesh, may I request you to please unmute your line and speak?
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. One question on this, overall sort of a delinquency that we are seeing. I think, you have been alluding to these being majorly caused by the election and the heat waves. But at the same time, there are a lot of concerns in the news reports that we have been reading about over-leveraging and, this sort of credit cost being expected to go up along with that. So how do we reconcile both this information? I mean, this is just a Q1 phenomena which should stabilize by, let's say, Q3 for you, or we are still in a wait and watch mode to understand, how things will shape up with respect to delinquency, especially in the non-core states.
Yeah, see, I think about the delinquency potential in the non-core states, we had anticipated that there will be little higher credit cost compared to the core states. That is mixture of all these things. It's a over leveraging, it could be customer migration, it could be political or some local interventions or many other parts will be that. There will be what I explained is a major reason why which the credit cost is increased because of the sensitive period of 60-70 days, your ability to follow up and convince the customer was less due to the sensitivity. That is why the major reason, therefore the buckets have moved further. Okay, but now what I'm telling you is that after that, I think the ability to go back and talk to customer and convince them to repay is higher. Therefore, your ability to control the credit cost is higher. So we can keep listing many other reasons also, but we only give the high frequency reasons during the quarter. And our strong belief that this is a one time and a little higher. And we also saw, as I said earlier, we saw 3-4 quarters, there is a little increase all the time in the non-core states. That is the reason we do little higher credit cost. So I just explained that also earlier.
And it also appears, from your comments as well as what the industry body is trying to do, that any such, effort to contain the credit cost going forward would be at a significant cost to the industry growth rate in terms of the AUM. So would you agree with that sort of a statement?
So it depends. If somebody want to go and lend to the same customer in the industry, then what you say is right. But there is still opportunity because as per the industry estimate also, your potential customer in microfinance is almost 16 crores. And what you address is only about 8 crores so far. So if you spread around the acquisition formula and go to the place where go to deep rural or instead of doing in only cities, I think still you have good opportunity.
And the growth has to be widespread.
Growth has to come from customer acquisition route, not by what they call an increasing ticket size. That's all.
Understood. And sir, finally, at the same time, we are also seeing normal sort of rainfalls across the country. So, that is expected to sort of help the rural economy.
Mm-hmm.
So do you expect any upsides happening because of this? Because last year was also not so good on that account. So in your model projections and what we are seeing on the ground, do you see any upsides coming from a normal rainfall?
So this should actually help to stabilize further on the credit cost and collections actually. Automatically when the rainfall is normal, agri product, agri and job level is improved, agriculture level improved. I think it will only improve the collection efficiency and the less of delinquency. Demand will go up. It's always positive.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidhesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, you mentioned in the presentation that you're tightening your filters by onboarding new customer and extending new loans to existing customers. So, what exactly we are doing here and what will be the target in terms of new customer acquisition for FY?
So target customer for newer customer acquisition, I think we already told, it's about 13-14% will be our customer growth what we anticipate for 2024-25. And the tightening is both sides. One is renewal and one is about the new customer. And even both cases, the tightening will be different in different states, probably different districts. Depends on the risk behavior. We may like what I said earlier. If though MFIN said four customer of not more than four lender, so many states we have been only is a two lender as a rule. Maybe some districts will go into two, even with only two lender or less. So it's all actually based on the risk, Nidesh. We will not have a general rule for everything. We go by the risk and reacting to the risk in each district level. So the granular checking given risk, anticipating risk, tightening the rule, pricing it appropriately, and provisioning accordingly. All three are go with the correlation actually. All four item correlation at a granular level.
And if I may add, with us adopting the rule engine, we've got a lot more power in hand. So all our attempt is towards making this a lot more finer, making it a little more resilient than what it was when we were doing it at state level. So we could work on many variables, including repayment obligations of customers. Like some of you pointed out, their overall leverage, including retail loans. We can even look at many other variables as we move forward, right? So we can work on PIN codes, we can work on certain villages, whatever we want, we have the power to do it. So we are able to look at things a lot more granular than what we used to do earlier.
Sure. And secondly, in terms of PAR zero, do you think this has peaked out here, or there is a possibility of further increase in PAR zero from the current levels?
Our belief it's a peak down, it will be stable for some time and start coming down also.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everybody, for joining at the late hours. So look forward for the next quarter and look forward for the support. Thank you so much. So nice, good evening.
Thank you.
On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Service Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.